All right, let's go back east and bring in Paul White. And Paul, of course, as I always say, the creator of the Baseball Weekly, but a great baseball man. And Paul, how are you?
Doing great, Marty.
Yeah, well, what a season we've got going here. And again, you and I talk all the time, and it's the middle of August, and here we go, the Phillies and Atlanta once again still there, and in your hometown Washington Nationals clinging to the hope, sort of like the Giants in a way, and they're clinging to the hope in the East. So how are things going back there?
It's still the sort of nobody can explain what's missing from this team. You know, they talk about injuries, et cetera, but it's more than that. You know, we saw over the last week the ultimate walk-off where the Cubs beat them in the Sunday night game with the grand slam and the two outs on the bottom of the ninth. Mm. And then the next night the Nationals were all excited. They came from two runs down on the top of the ninth to tie St. Louis, and immediately Paul DeJong hits a home run in the bottom of the ninth, another walk-off. They can't get anything going, and, you know, everybody assumes there's been something wrong with this team for several years. They underachieve all the time. There's been articles back here in the last few weeks that, see, they blamed it on Dusty Baker last year. That wasn't it. In fact, Dusty was more of a positive in that clubhouse, and they continue to have problems. And during this season, they traded Brandon Kinsler away, and there was a story that had been written on Yahoo.com by Jeff Passan where he had talked to unnamed Nationals who said, yeah, our clubhouse is dysfunctional, it's an issue. And the Nationals somehow leaked out, they thought it was Kinsler, and that's why they traded him. And then Passan comes out and says, sorry, guys, it wasn't Kinsler. You know, and if everybody you talk to says there's something wrong, but they have a different person to blame for it. They list certain guys as positives. Other people say, no, that guy's a negative. Or, you know, they talked about Jason Worth used to be there. He's a missing piece. And other people say, no, he was detrimental to the clubhouse. So nobody seems to have a feel for what's going on there.
They need a serious manager. Dusty Baker.
Well, they had it, you know, and you had an impatient owner, basically. But from the beginning, Dusty was their second choice. They wanted Bud Black. They lowballed him with the contract offer, and he said, no, I'm not taking that. And they turned to Dusty, which, you know, I love both those guys. Bud Black and Dusty Baker, two of my all-time favorite managers. I think they couldn't go wrong with either one, and they found a way to mess it up both times.
Boy, amazing. All right, Paul White with us. I just, of course, I'm watching Twitter while I'm on the air. And MLB trade rumors had Harper on waivers today. Is that true? If so, does it mean anything?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of talk that they're trying to slide him through waivers to get him to Philadelphia. Again, how true that is hard to say, but get them through waivers because if they fall a couple more games behind here, they're done. And at that point, go ahead and make a deal. See what if you can get somebody that'll pay dearly for that rental, for that impact guy down the stretch, go for it.
What do you think of Acuna and Urania this week and the aftermath and how baseball reacted? And also the six-game suspension and just the fact that he went right after Acuna.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's been always talk, you know, Keith Hernandez has taken a lot of the heat because he was outspoken about it. You know, old-school guys saying you got to be able to pitch in. And I agree, you got to be able to pitch in. But the only positive to what Urania did was he didn't go for the head. I mean, he went right at the guy. And you could say, all right, this is a guy with doesn't have the command, and maybe he was trying to pitch in and got it inside. But that was pretty blatant. And the problem with it is, you know what Major League Baseball is going to do. You get six games. That's one start. If you manipulate your rotation correctly, he barely misses a start. You just bump him back a couple of days. That's no punishment whatsoever. And baseball has a problem here. There's a lot of traditionalists. A lot of people say, you know, the law of the jungle, let them take care of it on the field. And to a certain extent, that's fine. But what Major League Baseball is seeing here in this week, an amazing, amazing amount of negative reaction to this. People calling for Urania to be suspended for the rest of the season, all kinds of big numbers like that. And baseball is treading a very fine line. They're trying to keep the game the way it has been, But at the same time, they're trying to attract a generation that they're afraid they're going to lose. A generation, you know, this is why we see speed-up rules. This is why we see all kinds of, you know, should we change shift rules because we got to create more offense so the game's getting boring. And that's the generation that says, hey, baseball, that is really stupid. That is Neanderthal to allow that to go on and to basically not punish the guy. Whether you agree with that or not, baseball's in a position they've got to do something to not lose that generation, and they're not doing it.
Well said. Very well said. I agree 100%. We do our podcast, Mid-Inning Relief. And did I send it to you? I don't know if I sent it
to you. Yes, you did. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, and again, it's generational. You know, I have someone from their 20s, 30s, and I'm in my 40s. So we have that but you get different viewpoints. You're exactly right. Of people in different generations, and baseball is very sensitive to that. I've been trying to make that part of the show today, and I think we've done it with Jack Clark, with Bruce Jenkins, with Jessica Kleinschmidt, with Owen Poindexter, and we've had different viewpoints from different age groups, and of course yourself and me as well. So very, very well said. Phillies in Atlanta, though, Nola is just outrageous. As I say, if they win a division, I think they're trouble. But Atlanta got Gausman, which is a major help for them. This is still a very good race.
Oh, absolutely. And it's going to be a good race to the end. That's why you hear things like, you know, could the Phillies actually find a way to get Harper? It's interesting because I think at this moment, the Phillies' starting pitching depth, is a little more dependable than Atlanta's. Long term, I love what Atlanta's got pitching wise coming. This is a rotation that's going to be fabulous going forward. The Phillies are a little more experienced in terms of Nola and Arrieta in the middle of this thing, and bullpens are going to be interesting. Both teams have kind of like tried to mix and match their bullpens. Who's the closer? Atlanta's had a lot of injuries there. That's hurt them a lot. So I think we're going to see a little bit of the two of them falling over each other. They're going to be stumbles along the way, which is going to make for a great race. And that's why you keep hearing people in Washington say, if we got one more run in us, we can still get in this thing.
Yeah.
But time's running out. But I think that's going to be a great race. I think Philadelphia's more dangerous, like you said, going into the postseason, because they can pitch a Nola in the wild card game and still come back and start Arrieta in the first round of the playoffs if they get through. Atlanta, not quite as dependable. Is it Julio Teheran? Is it Fulton Everett? Where do they go with it?
Anibal Sanchez. How about him?
Yeah, absolutely. A veteran guy.
Fulton Everett, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, it's going to be good. All right, now what all of a sudden has become an interesting race is the Central, but it's not the Brewers anymore. It's the Cardinals. And they have a guy pitching tonight, this Miles Mikolas, who gives them seven just about every time out. And they've got the Brewers tonight, Wade Miley in that one. It's a very, very compelling game. And all of a sudden, the Cubs have got Chatwood going against Musgrove for the Pirates. Now the Central has become a race where before it looked like the Cubs were going to walk in.
Yeah, it does. And the Cubs have run into a few pitching issues. Lester went through a bad stretch. Gave him a great game in Pittsburgh the other night, which really helped them. Quintana's been inconsistent. Chatwood was out of the rotation because he just couldn't. He had no command at all year. It's been a real disappointment. So they've struggled a little bit. They've had to mix and match in their bullpen. Pedro Strop's closing because Brandon Morrow's hurt. Pittsburgh's very much like the Giants and the Nationals. Like we said, they're lurking back there. They could have a good run in them, with Jameson Taillon. If they can get the good Chris Archer out there, all of a sudden they could make a run because they have a decent bullpen. It's becoming every division, every race, whose bullpen is in the best shape, because it's becoming that game more and more all over baseball. And the Cardinals have tried to retool their bullpen, made a few changes. Hicks is lights out with his velocity, a little inconsistent, but Bud Norris closes. It's amazing, and these things fluctuate from day to day, week to week.
Yeah, it's good. And the Cubs have a good lead, 4.5 over Milwaukee, but St. Louis 5 back. And the other thing I look at, I always say, how do you do within the division? division.
Right.
St. Louis 34-25 in the Central. The Cubs are 29-25. So you have to deal. You have to deal with the Cardinals because they
you've got to beat up the bad teams in your division.
Right.
And that division is tough because there isn't really a bad team in the sense that we talked about the four that are contending. And if you had to pick one non-contender in the major leagues right now that you do not want to play in big games, I think Cincinnati's right there.
Well, we're learning it firsthand
because,
right here.
Yeah, they did it last night without a lot of offense, and that's a lineup. I know Votto's hurt right now, but that's a lineup that is really difficult to maneuver through with when Votto's in there and Suarez and what Scooter Jeanette's doing and Peraza at the top of the lineup. They're pitching. Pitching's inconsistent. They have a lot of young guys that are capable of throwing big games. You just don't know what you're going to get. And you got Iglesias at the back end. That's not a team you want to play.
No. They can finish you off in a bullpen. If they get in a bullpen game, you're done. And that's what they did last night to the Giants. How about in the East? Atlanta 40-19 in the East, and Philly 24-22. How about that?
That's huge, and there it is. You've got the Marlins and the Mets in that division, and the Phillies, are struggling with the Mets again today, and that's really big. You've got to dominate those teams. And, it's funny is when you play the Mets is huge because if you get DeGrom in your series, that's a tough one.
How about Wheeler?
Yeah, well, you don't know. Wheeler's been
great.
Up and when he's hot, he's great. Syndergaard, same thing. And Mats came back the other day, was awful against the Phillies. Again, you don't know what you're getting from those teams, but they're scary.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, the Giants get Wheeler Monday night. That's going to be a tough game for the Giants there. Boy, what a August baseball, it's fun, isn't it? Just to see, and it's so funny because football's starting. People are starting to think about, the once-a-week game. And now baseball, this is when baseball does its best in August and September.
Well, yeah, and it's really interesting from market to market. Is it really football season yet? I mean, just laughing. I was watching the A's here today, and, you can see the football lines on the field. But all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute. The A's are beating up the Astros again today. They're going to be tied for first place in an hour. And it's not football season in Oakland yet.
No, the only thing you can see in Oakland are the tire tracks on Houston's back.
Yeah, and that's really interesting because Houston struggled against Seattle last week. Edwin Diaz basically closed every game in that series in Houston. They're getting beat up by the A's. Cahill's shutting them out today. It's 5-0 now, and all of a sudden, here's a team that was sort of the sweethearts of last year. Nothing could have gone better than the way the whole season went. And now they've run into this. All right. This creates some doubt in the minds of these guys, and they can talk about the injuries they've had. Correa's back. Springer's back. They've got the whole rotation together, and all of a sudden, this upstart team, the A's are the team playing with house money. They're the team with no pressure. They're just having fun, and it's all a bonus for them from here out.
Yeah, have fun with baseball. That's what the Giants are trying to figure out. I will say this about Houston. They miss Altuve in that lineup, and their bullpen is not – they got Hector Rondon closing. Come on.
Exactly. We talk about bullpens back and forth. Billy Bean went out and assembled what might be the best back end of a bullpen in the major leagues all of a sudden for the last month and a half of the season. You're right. Altuve's huge. I heard today that he's going on a rehab assignment. It's funny. They got him on the Triple-A team for a rehab assignment this weekend. That happens to be playing in Tacoma. And where do you think the Astros' next stop after Oakland is?
Seattle.
All right. he's about ready to come back.
All right. Hey, great to talk to you. Well, we'll do this often because this thing is going to get interesting over the next couple of weeks. So I appreciate it, Paul.
Sure. Anytime, Marty.
All right. Very good. That's Paul White. More coming up on the Sports Leader.